proper.
So if you take a look on the bottom left, you'll see Vav, it should say Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. You see such a thing? So the Rosh, here in the first parak of Psachim in Siman Yud, quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Now, just by way of introduction, almost all the Rishonim that we've seen until now assume that the general rule is that a bracha on a mitzvah should be with a lamed, and the al is the exception to the rule. Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, is going to set up the rule as al, and the exception to the rule is going to be the lamed. So, for example, your classic mitzvah is what's called in Rabbeinu Tam's language. Again, we'll soon see the exceptions to the rule. Mitzvah denases miyad. It immediately is a complete mitzvah. The mitzvah is complete. It's simple and right to the point. Kigon. And in all these cases, this list of what I call classic mitzvahs, which are nasos miyad, the brach is with an al. What's on the list? He has here al mikra megillah, which again, I think we've pointed out in the past that he's not looking at the stopwatch, you know, he's not asking how long would it tell you to fulfill the mitzvah. Megillah itself could take a half hour. Al tvila, al netilas yadayim, al afrashas truma, al achilas matzah, al achilas maror. Notice he doesn't distinguish between doraisas and derabanans. At this point, he's not mentioning shlichus, which was the riva. The riva said it all depends on whether it lends itself to shlichus or it doesn't. The Ramban was a different version of that. In any event, on a classic mitzvah, the list of which is, this isn't an exhaustive list, but there are many, many mitzvahs on this list, we make a brach on an al. So that seems to be the opening rule of Rabbeinu Tam, that we should make a brach with an al. The exception to the rule is going to be Ava laniach tefillin lasate betzitzis leishe besukah. These mitzvahs are very unique and very different than other mitzvahs, because yesh bahem shihui. Okay, so let's write that on the big board here. Yesh bahem shihui. So our title for today is Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbeinu Tam says that the lamed is mitzvah sheyesh ba shihui. Shin Yud Hei Vav Yud, we'll write it. Now, what does the word Shihui mean? Now, if the first category, which is Al, right, that's a mitzvah Hanases Miyad, correct? Miyad, immediately. Then the word Shihui means that there's an extension of time in the mitzvah. That's the word Shihui. It means you have to hold on to the mitzvah, you have to extend the mitzvah. And now he says the following. Why does the choice of the lamed fit for that category of mitzvah sheyesh bahem shihui? Because he says aloshen mora al kain lios ma'utah b'tfillin. So I emphasize the word lios, which means a certain extension or a state of being. Lios otah b'tzitzis leishev b'sukah lechol tayel bo kol hayom. Now, Rav Soloveitchik, in order to explain the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, he quotes a machlokas between Rebbe and Chachomim in Masechtas Sukkah on Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph with regard to Hanochas Tefillin. So here's the case that was a subject of debate. A person makes a bracha and he puts on his tefillin. Then he takes off his tefillin. He puts them on again, takes them off, puts them on again. So Rebbe says, every time he puts on his tefillin, he has to make a new bracha. And the Chachamim say that he makes one bracha shachris, meaning ala boker, and that bracha will cover him for every time during the course of the day that he puts on tefillin. So Rav Soloveitchik explained this machlokus in the following way. Rebbe Shita is that the bracha was established on the maisa mitzvah, the act of hanocha. Therefore, every single time you put on the tefillin, there's a new maisa hanocha, which requires its own bracha. But let's focus our attention now on the sheet of the Chachamim. The Chachamim hold that the bracha is not on the maisa mitzvah, but rather on the fulfillment of one's obligation. Now, the obligation of tefillin encompasses the entire day. Every moment of the day, a person should be wearing tefillin. For whatever reason, he had to take off his tefillin, but now he has an obligation to put them on again. So insofar as every moment obligates him to put on the tefillin, the bracha is established not on the ma'isa hanocha, but rather on the moment in which a person fulfills his obligation. And since he will not fulfill his obligation until the end of the day, therefore that one bracha is chal, it's related to the entire day. So let's just review what we're saying here, and then we'll come back to Rabbeinu Tam. We have machlokas here whether or not every single time I put on the tefillin during the course of the day I need a bracha. That's the sheet of Rebbe. Rebbe understands that we have to identify the maisa mitzvah, the action of the mitzvah, which is hanochas. Every time he puts it on, he needs a new bracha. And the chachamim say no. Even though he put on his tefillin, he hasn't yet fulfilled his obligation. And the proof is that if he takes off his tefillin, he's still obligated to put them back on. So the day itself encompasses the entire obligation. And now the mitzvah, the bracha, excuse me, is not established on the maisa mitzvah, because that maisa mitzvah per se is only a fraction of the mitzvah. It's only a beginning, a kickoff of the mitzvah. But rather, the bracha was established on the yotze yedei chovaso, the fulfillment of his mitzvah. And the fulfillment of the mitzvah is something that encompasses many, many different actions, because all the hanochos of one day all fit into the framework of fulfilling that one single mitzvah of wearing tefillin for the day. And therefore, there's no need to make a separate bracha each time he puts on the tefillin, because the bracha is on the whole enterprise until the point in which he fulfills his obligation. Now, that's a very nice sugya in Masechta Sukkah, very nice insight into the nature of the bracha on tefillin, and whether or not you have to make a bracha on tefillin every time you put it on. But what does that have to do with us? So this is an illustration to understand Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam holds that a mitzvah sheyesh bo shihui, it means that one action per se would not be sufficient to fulfill your obligation. So for example, in the case of tefillin, as we said before, the fact that you put on the tefillin, that is not a fulfillment of the obligation. And again, the proof of the pudding is that if you take off the tefillin, you're still obligated to put them on again. That's called a mitzvah sheyesh ba shihui. And in a mitzvah sheyesh ba shihui, we have no alternative other than to make the bracha on my attempt, my energy, my involvement in the mitzvah. I cannot make a bracha on the fulfillment of the mitzvah, because what I'm doing now is not really a fulfillment of the mitzvah. Does everybody see that? Again, I can't overemphasize this point. Why is it that when I put on tefillin, that is not a fulfillment of my mitzvah? Does anybody see that?
It has to last the whole day.
Correct, because if let's say I would take off my tefillin, I'd still be obligated to put them on again. But why? You know, I'll give you an example. In Hanukkah we say, Kovsa Ein Zocher Klo. I lit the candle, if it goes out, I don't have to rekindle it. In contrast, in the case of tefillin, if I take off my tefillin, I have to go to the washroom, whatever it might be, I got to put it back on again. So if that be the case, we're in a bind. Because how could we make a bracha on the fulfillment of the mitzvah when what you're doing now is only a fraction of that fulfillment of the mitzvah? In other words, we have to reinterpret the nature of the bracha. A bracha means asher kitshanu mitzvosu v'tzivanu, and now I'm fulfilling that tzivui. Well, I can't say that in the case of tefillin, because the tzivui is an ongoing tzivui that continuously generates an obligation upon my part to put on the tefillin. So my putting on the tefillin now is not enough to establish that I've fulfilled my mitzvah. So here's the distinction between al and lil. Let's start with al. Al means that I can make the bracha on my fulfillment of the mitzvah. Al, kiyuma mitzvah. Why am I making a bracha on the kiyuma mitzvah? Because what I'm going to do now is going to be a fulfillment of my mitzvah. Once I read the Megillah, once I count the Omer, once I wash my hands, I fulfilled the mitzvah. That's it. Geendet. Finito. There's no continued obligation. So in that case, I can make a bracha on my fulfillment. That's called a bracha al. So the meaning of the word al is on this mitzvah, which I now am completing. I now am discharging my duty. But in the case of a mitzvah sheyesh bo shihui, what that means is that the Torah extends this mitzvah over a long period of time and says that this action that you're doing will not be a fulfillment of your mitzvah, because you still have another period of time and another unit of time, and the mitzvah continues to obligate you. So I can no longer make a mitzvah on the kiyuma mitzvah, on the fact that I fulfilled my obligation. I can only make a mitzvah on my involvement. The Rav used the word hisaskus b'mitzvah. Hisaskus means lasok, to get involved in doing the mitzvah. David?
No, it's okay.
Oh, so he says the following. Take a look. You could underline the words on the bottom. On the bottom of page 55, I don't know if the page number actually came out in the photocopy, but the first page I gave you, on the bottom paragraph, he says, a mitzvah sheyesh ba shihui is radically different than a mitzvah of miyad, shenases miyad, because although nases miyad, I can say, well, I'm making a bracha on my fulfillment of the mitzvah, that's the al, but I can't do so in a case of a mitzvah sheyesh ba shihui, because the mitzvah of yesh ba shihui means that I have not discharged my duty with this action. So therefore, I cannot make the bracha on the kiyuma mitzvah, my fulfillment, because what I'm doing now is not a fulfillment of my mitzvah. It's only stage one, if you will. So all I can make a bracha on, if you see the next to the last line, is hisaskus b'mitzvah. And that's what the lamed means. The lamed is on my action, even though I haven't fulfilled my responsibility, I'm still obligated. There's no p'tur. And what it means is I'm thanking Hashem that He gave me this opportunity. You could turn now if you want to page 56. He gave me this opportunity to respond to His mandate and to implement whatever I can, even if it's only the beginning of the mitzvah, and hopefully I'll be able to take it all the way to the finish line and fulfill the mitzvah in its complete form. On the other hand, we have another category called mitzvah nases miyad. And then I can make the bracha on the fact that I am now exempting myself from this obligation because I'm fulfilling and discharging my obligation, and that's an al. So look at this. The word al means gemar ha-mitzvah. Okay, let's see what the mashma'ut, what the meaning of the word al is. Al means, right, gemar ha-mitzvah. What does gemar ha-mitzvah mean? That what I'm doing now will completely exempt me. That's it. Finito. The game is over. I don't have any obligation beyond that. Lamed, on the other hand, refers to a mitzvah that has a continuous obligation, such that even when I implement this action, like Hanukkah's tefillin, I have not yet fulfilled my responsibility. So therefore, I cannot make a bracha on the Gemara mitzvah, being complete fulfillment of my obligation, because I have a continuous obligation. So therefore, the lamed means hitaskus b'mitzvah. Hitaskut b'mitzvah. Okay? No, I think I made a mistake here. Hitaskut b'mitzvah. Okay. Whatever. I have to rewrite it, but I don't have time for it. So you'll see it in the text. Hitaskut b'mitzvah. In other words, I'm not fulfilling my obligation, but I'm involved in that lehaniach tefillin, and I'm involved in hanochas tefillin. Again, we don't know why the bracha on shel rosh is al hanochas. So that's going to be a whole section which I gave you. Hopefully, Mitch, you have the photocopy.
So this is the Rosh?
This is Rav Salveitchik's interpretation of Rabbeinu Tam. The Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says a mitzvah sheyesh bo shiui is a lamed, and a mitzvah shenasis miyad is an al. What does that mean? Rav Salveitchik is giving life into it. He's breathing life into a dead animal, so to speak. We don't understand what Rabbeinu Tam is saying. And the answer is that there are two types of brachas. There's a bracha on this askus of mitzvah. There's a gemara on the gemara mitzvah, means the kiyum chovaso. A bracha with an al is on the completion of the mitzvah. Al, I am now completing the mitzvah, means I'm potter from the mitzvah as soon as I do what I'm about to do. However, in the case of tefillin, tzitzis, and sukkah, in these cases, and there are many others as well, I am not going to fulfill my obligation. And again, how do I gauge that? What's my barometer? How do I prove whether or not I fulfill my obligation?
Keep doing it.
Exactly. Do I have to keep doing it? In other words, if the mitzvah is a mitzvah, shenasis miyad, it means there's no further obligation. I clinch the mitzvah, I discharge my duty with this action. And therefore I can say that this is the Gemar HaMitzvah. But in a case of a mitzvah sheish bashiyui, that's not the Gemar HaMitzvah, because there's an additional obligation that continues even beyond this particular action.
So it would seem like Rav would say that Rabbein and Tam wouldn't look too favorably upon Chabad, who has their tefillin stations.
What bracha do they make? You mean they make the wrong nusach, you're saying?
No,
or what?
We're saying that the mitzvah tefillin is ongoing. They just put on tefillin and take off. We're not, it may be perhaps a bracha lebatola.
No. Let's put it this way.
I'm just wondering.
Let's put it this way. There's an obligation to put on tefillin.
Right.
And the day can't go by without my putting on tefillin. If a day goes by and I didn't put on tefillin for 1 second, then that's called a karkafta de lamon of tefillin. That's a serious violation. So if I can get the maximum, I should wear tefillin the whole day. But if I can't get the maximum, at least let it be a minimized mitzvah. The bracha is going to reflect the ideal mitzvah in which I continuously put back on my tefillin every time I take them off until nightfall. But if you ask me, would there be a kiyum mitzvah that did I fulfill at least part of the mitzvah by putting on my tefillin and taking it off?
Just for a moment,
the answer is yes, I have fulfilled my mitzvah. But that's not the ideal mitzvah. The ideal mitzvah is an obligation that's continuous. David?
You mentioned earlier that the kiyum of reading Megillah, it may take a half an hour or longer. It's still an hour.
Mitch says 25 minutes.
Okay, yeah. But what I want to ask you is,
Mitch, every time you come, it's unbelievable. Minas Shemayim, we're always talking about how long it takes to read the Megillah. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, go ahead. When it comes to sukkah, the kiyum is to dwell on your sukkah, so it takes a week. Why is it different than maybe half an hour from the Megillah? It's a longer time period, but it's one kiyum.
So that's what I'm saying. That once I read the Megillah, I don't have to read it a second time. Okay. But once I eat in the sukkah, if I have another meal, I'm going to have to go back into the sukkah again and eat a second time. So I haven't fulfilled my obligation with one single action. The mitzvah of sukkah is an all-encompassing extended mitzvah that will obligate me time after time to go into the sukkah and do whatever I do in the house. Whatever is considered teshvu kein taduru, I have to go back into the sukkah. Now, I have a long footnote here of my own. You know, if we had more time, I would I'd love to get into it. That's footnote number 17. But you know what? I'm not here to pipe my own horn, so toot my own horn. So we'll leave that footnote for maybe another time. Okay.
So can I ask this question in terms of how's that fitting with over lasiyasan?
Again, the asiyasan here means one of two things. It means the beginning of the mitzvah, the first asiya, that's called this askus, or it means the asiya which clinches the mitzvah and completes the mitzvah. But in both cases, we're going to require overall asiyasan. In other words, there's no difference between these two categories as far as overall asiyasan is concerned. But what does the word asiyasan mean? In the case of a lavid, it means just the beginning of the asiya. God, you've given me the opportunity to get involved in this mitzvah. Will I be able to complete it perfectly, ideally or not? I don't know, but at least I can get the ball rolling. And the brach on an al is on the complete mitzvah because, you know, here it's, in Yiddish we say, adagar, adagarnish. It's either everything or nothing. You know, she can't be half pregnant. So either you, in a case of an al, either you fulfill the mitzvah completely and we're not going to ask you to do anything more, or you didn't fulfill your mitzvah. Whatever that mitzvah is, define it, give it its bookends, and tell me that I did a certain action, and now I'm potter, I can go home, I don't have anything beyond that. That's called a brach on an al, and that's called the Gemar mitzvah. Now let's see how Rabbeinu Tam explains Chanukah, shofar, and hallel. And then we get into tefillin. In the case of Ner Chanukah, if I tell you kotsa ein zakukla and hadlakos a mitzvah, what should be the nusach habracha for Ner Chanukah?
How?
Rabbeinu Tam has a serious problem here with Ner Chanukah, and his solution confuses our mind even more. He says lahadlik Ner Chanukah. In other words, the nusach habracha of Chanukah parallels the cases of tefillin, mezuzah, tefillin, tzitzis, and sukkah. Why? Why is that so? Those three cases of olamid are mitzvah sheyesh bo shiyui, which means you've done the action, but you have to do it again and again and again. Correct? You can only make a bracha on this askus b'mitzvah, but not on the Gemar mitzvah. But in the case of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah, I can make a bracha on the Gemar mitzvah the very moment that I lit the candle. Geendik, I finished the mitzvah. So Rabbi Tam quotes the famous braisa of Mishatishka Chamat Shetichle Regem and Ashuk. What's going on over here? The mitzvah is the Hadlokah. You want to know exactly when you should light the candle? Well, you should light it sometime in that time slot that begins with Shkiyas HaChama and ends with Tichla Regev and Ashuk. Let's call it Persumei Nisa, right? You need people walking in the street so that they'll see your Ner Chanukah. But again, after all is said and done, the halach of Ner Chanukah is I light the Ner Chanukah and that's it. Finito. It's a mitzvah nasis miyad. Hadlaka osa mitzvah. I did the halacha and that's it. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to suggest that Rabbeinu Tam is analyzing the mitzvah of Chanukah not from the perspective of what do I need to minimally fulfill my obligation, but rather what would I need to maximize my obligation, my fulfillment. And what Rabbeinu Tam sees in this Gemara of mitzvasa mishetishka chamat shetichle regem nashuk is that although we know, because we paskin kovsa ein zakukla and hadlokos a mitzvah, that the minimum obligation is just lighting the candle and then that's it. Geendik, as we say, it's finished. But nevertheless, the brach has to reflect the kiyum mitzvah. The kiyum mitzvah is the ideal mitzvah. And the ideal mitzvah in Ner Chanukah is not fulfilled with hadlaka per se. Why? Because who sees your candle if it was lit for 1 second? Correct?
Yes.
So in the case of tefillin, you know, I put on my tefillin, I take it off. Okay, I'm busy, I have to go to work, I'm going into places where I shouldn't be wearing tefillin, I can't focus on the tefillin, whatever it might be. But in the case of Ner Chanukah, could you imagine a person who lit his Ner Chanukah, Lubavitch style, like you gave me the example, Ruvain, and then he blew out the candle immediately. You know, let's go on to the next customer. The Lubavitch has only one candle, so he has to use it for 50 people who are waiting online, right? I'm just saying, that would not be the ideal mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Why? Because Ad Shetichle Regel Men Ashuk means that as long as there are people in the shuk, your candle should be lit. What we call Ner Doluk. Rav Soloveitchik used the term Persumei Nisa. There's an ongoing Persumei Nisa, and although, again, minimally, you can discharge your duty of Ner Chanukah by lighting it, even if it goes out immediately, but maximally, if you want to maximize the Kiyum HaMitzvah in the ideal sense, then the Ner should be Doluk for that period of time, let's call it a half hour. And that gives you a half hour's worth of Pirsum HaNes. And you maximize your Pirsum HaNes. So that second kiyum is going to determine which Nusach HaBracha. It's almost like we're using the Nusach HaBracha, the Allah, the Lir, as an educational tool. It's almost like a chinuch. We want to teach you what the nature of your obligation is. It's not just classifying the mitzvah either this way or that way. It's a directive, and it's telling you how to fulfill your mitzvah. If I add the lamed and substitute the lamed for the al, then I'm telling you something about your obligation. And I'm telling you that you really have an obligation to go beyond. It's not enough that you lit the candle, you want it to be lit over a period of time to maximize Pirsum HaNes. Many months ago, when we were learning the Sugya of Chanukah, I mentioned to you that there are poskim who say the following, that even though kovsa ain zakuk la, but the halacha requires you to set it up in a way that it would last for the full half hour. And some poskim say if you didn't have enough shemen in the candle, or even if it went out, you should light it again if you're still within that period of pirsum hanes.
Without a bracha.
Again, because of all the different poskim. But nevertheless, the idea that there should be a ner doluk, an ongoing ner, is built into the mitzvah ner chanukah. I'm going to teach you about that. How am I going to teach you about that? I'm going to tell you, instead of making the normal bracha, the classic bracha with an al, switch it over to a lam. It's a mitzvah nimsheches. It's a continuous mitzvah. And your obligation continues. And it continues extended over a period of time. Now, if you ask me, how long did it take you to read the Megillah? Mitch's old question, he did it in 25 minutes. Let's say I could read the Megillah in 1 minute, if I could have such a thing. I'd fulfill my mitzvah. Nowhere is it built into the mitzvah of the Kriyas HaMegillah that you should extend the Kriyas HaMegillah. But not so in the case of Ner Chanukah. Built into the very fabric of the mitzvah is that you should be extending the mitzvah. Joseph?
The very fact that if it goes out, you relight without a bracha.
That's because of various poskim, you know, that lit
covers any time.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, we when it comes to bruch, we have to consider all the poskim. So some of the poskim would say that once it goes out, you know, you've achieved your pirsum hanes.
I'm just wondering about tefillin. When we put on tefillin again, we do say bruch again.
So I don't know, how do we paskin in the machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim? I think we paskin like Chachamim, that one bracha suffices for the whole day. Maybe if there's a Hesech Hadas, you have to know exactly. I don't know. Do me a favor if you can. I don't know if you want to do it now or later, but take out Sukkah Daf Mem Vav of an Aleph and see if you could find what I call the Ein Mishpat. You know. Well, let's go on now to the Bruch of Shofar. Rabosai, what Nusach would be appropriate for Shofar? Does Shofar sound to you like Tefillin, or does it sound to you like Megillas Esther? What would you say?
Sounds more like Megillas Esther.
Exactly, it should be Megillas Esther. Once again, I you know, it takes me 9 kolos. I gotta have a 3 truas with a pshuta lefaneh, pshuta lachreel. I have to hear 9 blasts, and that's it. And therefore, the bracha should have been al shmias shofar. Instead, it's lishma kol shofar. How do we make sense out of that? So, if you'll take a look on page 57, which is on your left side. And he counting down 4 lines from the top of the page. He says, "V'chein lishma." At least I'm consistent, Rabbi Osai, in forgetting to turn off the sound. Give me an excellent grade for consistency. Yeah. No, you should know. Maybe that's why I do it, so I shouldn't embarrass anyone whose phone goes. If you know the story about the Chafetz Chaim used to pour a little bit still from the Kiddush cup. So maybe that's why my phone makes this noise. So you shouldn't be embarrassed if your phone goes on. V'chein lishma kol shofar. Wait a minute. What do you mean lishma kol shofar? This is a mitzvah shenaseis miyad. Again, it may take you a little time till you hear all the kolos, but once you hear the kolos, that's it. You fulfill your mitzvah. It's like Megillah. Says Rabbeinu Tam Nein. That's not so. Yeshihui. Why is there a shihui? Where is the, as we said, that you didn't fulfill your mitzvah, you have another mitzvah, you have another obligation. And the answer is, lahafsaka beinat kios. What he means is that there are 2 sets of tkios. One is called tkios demiyushav. That's a very strange name because really we stand for those tkios. But halachically, you don't have to stand for those tkios. Oh yeah, we do it l'kvod mitzvah, but it's called tkios demiyushav. That's the first set of tkios that preempts musaf. And then there's another set of shofros, which is called shofros al seder abrochos, which means that we integrate the shofar into the tfilas musaf. So Rav Soloveitchik says that's what Rabbeinu Tam has in mind. Yesh hafsaka, meaning you're not able to wave the flag and say, I heard the tkios, I fulfilled my mitzvah, let me go home. Finito. No. You still have an additional obligation. What's the additional obligation? Which Rabbeinu Tam identifies as the ikar mitzvah. That's seder. That's the second set of tkios that are integrated into the fabric of Musaf. And therefore, how can you recite a bracha with an al when the implementation of the Maisa Mitzvah, namely the first set of tekiyos, is not enough to fulfill your obligation? You have an additional obligation. There's going to be hafsaka. Hafsaka means that these two sets of tekiyos are separated one from the other. You know, it's not like, you know, Megillas Esther, where you could read the Megillah, you know, straight without taking a breath of air. You don't even have to, you don't even have to clap for a Haman and you'll fulfill your mitzvah. But here, you have to first start with the tekiyos, and you're finished, and then the chazan is going to start Hinnity, and then we'll start Shmot Esrei, and then we'll integrate a second round of Tekiyah Shofar. So therefore we cannot make the bracha al, because al means that I'm immediately fulfilling the Gemara Mitzvah, achieving the Gemara Mitzvah. Here, no. The Gemara Mitzvah will only be fulfilled in the second round of Tekiyos, and that is educated, and that is indicated by the bracha with a lamed. So the ongoing chiyuv here, which means that in addition to tekiyos to miyushim, I have another chiyuv of tekiyos al seder brachos, that is what justifies the bracha with a lamed, lishmoa kol shofar. So again, lishmoa kol shofar means I can't say that I'm fulfilling the mitzvah now, because what I'm doing now is only the beginning of the mitzvah. The lamed indicates that I'm engaged in the mitzvah. It's his askus b'mitzvah, but my kiyum chovaso is way down the line. When I say way down the line, I don't mean in terms of time, but way down the line in terms of requiring a whole nother action, a whole nother maisa mitzvah.
And the fact that you can't talk, that leaves,
yeah,
bracha in the end kind of says that there's no
hafsa. Right. Yeah, that's interesting. We're going to see this in tefillin as well. You can have two actions, and they integrate to form one kiyum mitzvah, but they remain two separate actions. What I mean to say is the following: in the case of Mikra Megillah, there's one maisa kriya. There, the din of hafsak is going to be very strict and very demanding, because I need one maisa. In the case of tefillin, I'm going to have two different maisim, but they're going to be integrated into one mitzvah. I mean, that we'll get up to in a minute, you know, whether tefillin is two separate mitzvahs, one mitzvah, and it's very complicated. But in the case of shofar, I have to integrate these two maisim into one, but they're two distinct maisim. And what makes them distinct? There are two ways of judging, of taking the pulse. Number one is the fact that the first set of tekiyos is outside the framework of Shmon Esrei, and the second set of tekiyos is inside the framework of Shmon Esrei. Correct? So even though it's one, as Mitch points out, it's one continuous mitzvah, and if I shouldn't be mafsik, but my bracha is going to be on the Gemar mitzvah. Why? Because I can't make a bracha on this askus mitzvah, because this askus that's in front of me now, before I get to Seder HaBrachos, is not going to fulfill my obligation. And if that be the case, and I want to indicate that this is a mitzvah sheyesh ba, then I have to switch the bracha from al to alamed. Let's go over it one more time. We would have said, as Mitch said before, since we're going to integrate the two blowings of the shofar, the blowing of Tekiyos Demiyushim together with the blowing, and we're not going to be mafsik between, we would have said that that indicates that my mitzvah is continuous. It's one maisa mitzvah. I shouldn't use the word continuous, because that's going to confuse us. What I meant to say is that it's one mitzvah that I fulfill immediately, and it's like Megillah, and it's a mitzvah nasis miyad, which means the bracha should be with Allah. Why do we shift the nusach to Alamin? Because what we're trying to indicate here is that we're not yet ready for the Gemara mitzvah. The bracha is going to be... Just 1 second, let me get this straight. The bracha is going to be not on the Gemara mitzvah, because again, there's one maisa which I'm doing now. That maisa could not possibly qualify. Oh, that's the word I need. That maisa could not possibly qualify as the Gemara mitzvah. Why? Because I'm obligated to integrate my shofar into the fabric of Shmon Esrei, and now I'm not yet ready for Shmon Esrei.
You have two components, as Shofar says.
So says Rabbeinu Tam, I cannot possibly make the bracha with an al, because a bracha with an al would indicate that right now I have the capacity to do a maisa that will fulfill my obligation. That's called gemar mitzvah. That's not so in the case of shofar, because as I can blow the shofar till I'm blue in the face, right now I will not fulfill my obligation. I have to wait until Shmoneh Esrei. Again, at the end of the day, when I wait until Shmoneh Esrei, I have a gemar mitzvah. So, for example, let's say, according to Shitas Chachamim, we'll see how it filters out in the poskim, one bracha on tefillin would encompass the entire day. What does that mean? That it means the following, that I have to make a bracha on the gemar kiyum. But the Gemara Kiyum is not ready yet, right? Because I have to constantly put on the tefillin. So I'm going to make the bracha on this askus. And that's going to be a bracha with a lamed. The Gemara Kiyum is going to be suspended until the end of the day. Comes along the Chachamim and they say the following. That bracha is going to recite, is going to encompass the entire mitzvah. Adarabha. The reason why we're making a bracha in the lamed is because the mitzvah itself is continuous. And the bracha with the lamed on this askus is now going to cover all the his askus until finally I reach home plate, as we'd say, until I finally, you know, circle the bases and I have a gemar mitzvah. Would it be that I had a hefsek in between? Then maybe we would need a new bracha. So I don't know what would the Chachamim say if he took off his tefillin, went to work, then came back again. So let's just think about the case of sukkah, right? We have two examples of a bracha with a lamed that I want to compare. We have in Rabbeinu Tam lehaniach tefillin, and we have leishev besukkah. In both cases, I would say the following: that although the Nusach HaBracha indicates this askus b'mitzvah because of the nature of the ongoing chiyuv, but nevertheless, that bracha should encompass the entire day. But the problem is going to be if I have a hefsek in between. So I'm in the sukkah, I'm eating my breakfast, then I get called out for a business meeting, I leave the sukkah, I come back to eat lunch. It could be that now I need a new bracha. Why? Because this askus was fine and dandy to set up my bracha on the Seuda Shachris, on Pashachris. But now I need a new askus, and I can no longer relate the bracha that I recited in Shachris to my lunch, because in between there was a hefsek. What did you find, Joseph? Anything?
No, it seems like they passed in like the Rebbe.
So let's take a look in Shulchan Aruch if you can. And we'll see, because I have a feeling that even the Chacham under certain circumstances are gonna agree that you have to make another bracha on tefillin.
My take on shofar is more on a spiritual level, where I believe to get shofar is something that we should take home with us, and not that it should have ringing in our ears, but it should last the whole year. And so I think that means additional support
for Lishma kol shofar.
Yeah.
I'm constantly hearing the shofar. That's a Hasidic approach. I see, Reuven, you have a Hasidic in the shofar. That's good. I like that. Although my Rebbe said about his father that when the Hasidic Bal Tokea heard Rav Moshe Salvechik saying Tkiyah, he broke out in tears. So Rav Moshe said to him, and when you take a lulav, you break out in tears? Why are you crying? Because to Rav Moshe, you know, you have to do the ma'aseh mitzvah. You know, it's a ritual the Torah requires blowing the shofar. Don't get so emotional about it. That's the difference between a litvak and a chassid. U'mashanu mevarchim al kriyas ha-halel. In other words, why an al in the case of kriyas ha-halel? The anu mevarchim al mikra megillah. I'm sorry, I left that one word here that changes it. Umasha eid mevarchim al kriya sahalil. What's the difference here? In halal, we're going to say likros sahalil. The anu mevarchim al mikra megillah. To the same extent that mikra megillah is a mitzvah miyad, and now I can make the bracha on the Gemara mitzvah, which is called an al. I should be able to do so in the case of Kriyas Hallel. I recite Hallel and that's it, finito. You're not going to tell me I have another obligation after I finish Hallel to again recite Hallel. Says Rabbeinu Tam, Hainu Tam Lefisha Korin is a Megillah below Hefsek. And again, the way we're learning below Hefsek means it's one Maisa Mitzvah. I will be Kriyas Hallel Mafsikim Vatsibur Onim Beroshe Aprokim. So I get to a certain point where I have to stop and I cannot fulfill my next obligation without the Aniyah Barash Prokim, which means that the Chazan has to call out and responsibly I have to respond. So the Shita Rabbeinu Tam is that portion, that section of Hallel is like the difference between, you know, the first section of Shofar and the second section of Shofar. It sets up a whole new mitzvah.
Cash on that by Mikra Megillah, because we have Hefsek and Megillah.
Right, but I don't think that that's built into the mitzvah itself. I think that's Minhagim, if I'm not mistaken. Check me out on that. Here, it's not a matter of Minhag. This is the way they establish the mitzvah of Hallel. The ode, Damrina Bipsachim, the Ikar Kriyas Hallel, Tiknu Neviim Arishonim Likros Al Kol Tzara Shalotovo, Bechol Mitzvah She'ena Chovet Tomid Lo Shayech Bo Al. Okay, this second answer of Rabbeinu Tam is a whole new parsha here. But let's go through at least the first answer of Rabbeinu Tam to justify the bracha of a lamed in the case of Kriyas Hallel. Yeshnei kiyum v'kriyas Hallel. Kiyum yochid v'kiyum tzibur. Hakiyum hasheni misgashem v'aniya b'roshei prokim. V'al kiyumim shonim i'efshel avarech bi'al. Well, again, when he says al kiyumim shonim, what I think it means is that there's another maisa. Do you follow what I'm saying? Let's say if I could kill two birds with one stone, with one mice, I could achieve two kiyumim, then I would say, according to Rabbeinu Tam, in such a case, you could make a bracha on the Gemara Mitzvah, and that would be with an al. But when there's a sequence, and in order to fulfill these two kiyumim, I need to fulfill kiyum number one at time t1, and then subsequently, kiyum number two at time t2, so therefore, when I recite the bracha at the very beginning of this process, I cannot possibly make the bracha on the Gemara mitzvah, which is the classic al, and therefore I have to shift the nusach over to a lamed. And that's what happens in Kriyas Hallel. I have two stages, so to speak. Bazeh achar zeh. First I have to start with my kriya, and then I have to get to a kiyum of tzibur through ania, and therefore when I make the bracha initially, at the beginning of this process, I cannot make the bracha on the Gemara mitzvah with an al. I have to make a bracha on this askus b'mitzvah with a lam. Now, let's fast forward for a moment to tefillin, the last paragraph on your page. Umashim evarchim b'tefillin shal yad lehaniach v'al shal rosh al mitzvahs. Now, let's try to understand. We've already established, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that the lamed of tefillin is clearly because there's no gemar mitzvah here at this point, because if I take off my tefillin, I have to put them on again. At this point, then, Rabbeinu Tam should be asking Akasha about the al of tefillin shel rosh. The language of his question is a little bit misleading, a little bit ambiguous. He says, why do we make a bracha on the shel yad with a lamed and on the shel rosh with an al? If I would have anticipated Rabbeinu Tam using a slightly different formulation, he should have said, why is it that on the shel rosh we make a bracha with an al? After all, the shel rosh as well as the shel yad, if you take off the tefillin, you're going to have to put it on again and again and again. And therefore the bracha could not possibly be on the Gemara mitzvah like an al, but rather on this askus b'mitzvah. So the same thing should apply, same exact logic that we applied to shel yad, and we were very satisfied, we should apply to shel rosh. But maybe Rabbeinu Tam is setting us up for the answer to this question. He's saying the following: Shelo rotzu l'taken shtei brachos zu achar zu b'mitzvah achas shavos. Now I don't know, what does he mean by b'mitzvah achas shavos? I mean, it's really not a mitzvah achas. It's two different mitzvahs. If you have a shal rosh and you don't have a shal yad, so you put on the shal rosh, or vice versa.
It's the same mitzvah of tefillin. I mean, it's still the one mitzvah of tefillin. It's
not one mitzvah, Asher. It's really two separate mitzvahs. I don't know. I think we have to reinterpret this word mitzvah achas. But the truth is that if you look at the next line of Rabbeinu Tam, he does seem to insist that it's mitzvah achas.
If you only have film shayyad, you yotzei.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. Don't hesitate for one moment to put on the shayyad without a shel rosh. V'tiknu b'shel rosh, al. So far, Rabbeinu Tam has just told us that they wanted to change the nusach. Again, the very fact that there are two brachas itself indicates that two mitzvahs, but somehow it's also mitzvah achas. It's a and not a at the same time. It's two different mitzvahs, but it's also one mitzvah. Now, decide for yourself, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, which of these two hanochos, whether it's yad or rosh, should get the lamed, and which should get the al. Flip a coin. So here's where he answers the following, that the al is more appropriate for the shel rosh, shehi gmar hamitzvah. If you remember before, we had pointed out that according to Rabbeinu Tam, the meaning of the word al in Berachas HaMitzvah is gmar hamitzvah. That's called the mitzvah nasis miyad. To some extent, the tefillin shel rosh has an advantage over the tefillin shel yad in the sense that it has an element of a gemar mitzvah. Now again, let's not go too far with this, because like shel yad, shel rosh also is a continuous mitzvah, and if you take off the shel rosh, you have to put it on again. So that the concept of gemar mitzvah is a relative concept, meaning if you have to choose between shel yad and shel rosh, one of them could suffer a bracha with an al. Which of these two is more could be more tolerant of a bracha of an al? We have to introduce a new nusach. We can't use the same nusach twice for some odd reason. It would bore us to death. So we need a little excitement here. We have to add and change the nusach bracha. Now you ask me, well, which of these two, let's say you're an al sitting there, which of these two mitzvahs of hanukkah would be vying for the al and have a better claim for the al? The answer is the last one in the sequence, because that's closest to what we call a gemar mitzvah. Not to say that it's a gemar mitzvah. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to breathe some life into this Rabbeinu Tam. Nira lefarish, sheyesh b'mitzvahs tefillin shnei kiyumim. Kiyum pu'ula shel maisa kshira. Okay, it's interesting that he uses the word kshira here. Really, we use the word hanocha. The word kshira is a biblical word, and it indicates, according to at least some poskim, that you have to actually tie it down. I mean, the different ways of interpreting kshira. But hanocha is more of a general term, a generic term, a little bit more ambiguous. It doesn't go into details about how you fulfill hanocha. So number one, we fulfill our mitzvah with a maisa kshira. Number two, that's not enough, because we have to be ma'utar b'tfillin. You remember Rabbeinu Tam's language here. He says that, why is it with a lamed tfillin? Because he has to be ma'utar b'tfillin. So that means that it's not enough that he does the maisa ukshartem. He's going to have to do it again and again and again to guarantee that he's ma'utar b'tfillin the whole day. Lachem mevarchem shtei brachos lo'aniach v'al mitzvahs tefillin. So there are two fulfillments here, and they require each one respectively its own bracha. One bracha is going to be lo'aniach, and the other is going to be al mitzvahs tefillin. So let's work this out. Hakiyum arishon shel maisik shira hu mitzvah sheyesh lo gmar. Just one second. Umevarchim all of the al. Just give me a minute here. So this mitzvah. So in the case of ma'utah b'tefillin, since it's an ongoing kiyum, she'ehei mutah b'tefillin, he cannot make a bracha with an al. But if the bracha is established on the maisa, then it's a mitzvah she'yesh la gemar, and therefore you make the bracha with an al. Let me just make sure I got this right. Umevarchim Allah ba'al. But as far as the kiyum of being ma'utar b'tefillin, which means that even if I take it off, I have to put it back on again, and that becomes a mitzvah she'yesh la shiyui, that requires a lamed. And that's laniach. So the bracha of lamed is on the gavra hama'utar b'tefillin. The bracha of an al is on the ma'isek shira. Fine. So too, in the case of tefillin, it's with a lamed lios ma'utah b'tefillin. So now the question is the following: you have a bracha on shira, and that bracha is going to go on which tefillin? Tefillin shel rosh, correct? Because the tefillin shel rosh is considered a gemar mitzvah. Why? Because the ma'isek shira, in and of itself, generates a kiyum. It clinches a kiyum. And if I clinch the kiyum, it's a mitzvah nasis miyad, and that bracha was designated for the tefillin shel rosh. He says mikshum sheyesh nechalok lemitzvas kshira, v'ein hamitzvah nigmeres ad shebeniach tefillin shel rosh. So in other words, there's one kshira on the shel yad and another kshira on the shel rosh. Lachain kavu levarech lifnei gemara mitzvah, meaning on the kshira, which is the gemara mitzvah, b'shosh and niftar michovaso. So since the Torah requires not only a kshira of shel yad, but also kshira shel rosh, therefore we're going to make the bracha on the gemara mitzvah. And that's a bracha with an al, right? Like all the classic mitzvahs that we mentioned that have an immediate gemar mitzvah. So why are we going to choose that bracha on the gemar mitzvah, on the kshira, the shel rosh? And the answer is because when he does the shel yad, that kshira, with all due respect, is not a gemar mitzvah. So Asher, the Rav is certainly learning the way you learned, that it's all one mitzvah, not the way I learned, that it's two separate mitzvahs. And that's supported by the language of Beit Tam, that he says b'mitzvah achas shavos. So in other words, see, I don't understand, according to the Rav, why didn't they make a separate bracha on tzitzis? And the answer is because both kiyumim are simultaneous, meaning the kiyum of the ma'isa mitzvah achieves both latov, right, and also gavra ma'uta. Mashenkin in tefillin, we need another ma'isa in order to complete the kshira, and therefore they set up a different bracha. So the first bracha is going to be on the gavra ma'uta b'tefillin, but now they need another bracha because since they're two maisim, then it's not enough to make a bracha on gavra ma'uta b'tefillin. I need a bracha on the maisim, and since they're two maisim, I need a bracha on. So I'm going to recite the first bracha on the gavra ma'uta b'tefillin, that's called a lamed, and then a second bracha on the additional kshira. In the case of tzitzis, there's no additional maisa. I don't know, it's a little bit...
what would you have thought by...
No, I'm very confused here, because the Rav is saying that why are there two brachas on one mitzvah, right? We never find two brachas on one mitzvah. And if you're assuming that there's one mitzvah, tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, and the Rabbeinu Tam says it's mitzvah achas. So the answer is they're two kiyumim. And now the question is, which bracha belongs to which kiyum? One bracha is on the kiyum of Gavram Uta B'Tefillin, that's with a lamed, because there's no gemar mitzvah. And then there's a bracha on the kshira, and that's a gemar mitzvah, and that's going to be with an al. I understand that very well. But if the underlying postulate here is that when you have two dimensions of a mitzvah, you have a kiyum of Maisa Kshira and a kiyum of Mu'uta B'Tefillin, you need two brachos. So why not apply the same logic to tzitzis? I should require two brachos in tzitzis.
Because it's not two parts, it's only one.
Yeah, I think what the Rav is going to probably answer to me, but again, it's a little bit obfuscated, is that in Tefillin, the bracha on Kshira, which again is a bracha, a classic bracha with an al, that bracha is generated by the fact that I separate the kshira into two parts. In the case of tzitzis, I don't separate the kshira into two parts. I just simply, with one maisa, I could accomplish both the hanochas talis, meaning the ituf betalis, and lios gavram uter betalis. And therefore they only establish one bracha, even though they're two kiyumim. Anyway, let me just finish this up. V'yena mitzvah nigmeres ad shemeniach tefillin shel rosh. So as far as kshira is concerned, and this is also a little bit paradoxical, because kshira means it's a mitzvah nasis miyad, but yet paradoxically, it's not a mitzvah nasis miyad, because the Torah says, "Ksharetem li'ol sa'yadecha li'tot fos me'ninech," so you need the kshira of the shel rosh as well. So therefore, the bracha of the miyad, which means the bracha on the Gemara mitzvah is going to have to be attached to tefillin shel rosh, because it's not enough to fulfill my mitzvah tefillin with a kshira of shel yad. I need an additional kshira of shel rosh. Is therefore zeh shemavarchem al b'hanocha shel rosh. Oh, el tzarich iyami mitzvahs biur. There are two actions. She'enem is kayemis ad shas sreifa. So in addition to looking for the chametz, he has to burn the chametz. And if that be the case, then the bracha should be, just 1 second, kol mechom varchim al bir chametz. If you're telling me that, he's asking the following question, that if the bracha is with an al, it means that if you have two maisim, you're gonna postpone the bracha until the gemar mitzvah, and therefore the bracha of al on the kshira in the case of tefillin is postponed until he puts on the tefillin shel rosh. If you have two maisim in the case of bir chametz, you start with bedika and then you go on to biur, and we're going to say it's a mitzvah nasis miyad, right? It's a mitzvah nasis miyad, and therefore you can be mevarach on the gemar mitzvah, then the bracha should be postponed until the sreifa. That's what he's asking. Okay, Rabbi Osei, what time is it? Okay. So we finished that article.
It's a lay of Sagi, and that answer that beholds that way.
I'm glad that it's the Rambam Shita. In any event, Rabbi Osei, here's the deal. So tomorrow we get back to the sugya of Ein Sofik Motzei Midei Vadai on Daf Tes. I would like to discuss, because if you recall, we had one point in the sugya of Al and Liv, which, at least from my perspective, didn't make any sense, and that was the bracha of Tvila. And the Gemara says that the reason why the bracha on Tvila shifts from a lamed to an Al is because the Ger himself can't be obligated in the mitzvah, shekichonim mitzvot v'tzivonu, until he comes out of the mikvah. But Tosa says that if we do the gerus, then we'll make a bracha with a lamed. Lomulas agerim. So I didn't understand that. I mean, what's the chiyuv to be mal a ger? I don't know. So anyway, Rav Salvechik has Torah on that. Maybe we'll add that tomorrow. But fundamentally, tomorrow we want to talk about the following. There's Vadei Tevel, and now the question is, did the chaver, before he died, Mafrish Maser? And that's a suffix. We don't know if he was Mafrish Maser or if he wasn't Maser Maser. So the Gemara vacillates back and forth. Is that a case of Ein Sofik Motzei Midei Vadai? which means that if you're allowed to eat the fruit, it means that Safik is Motzi Midei Vadai, and then we're going to have trouble with the case of the Chulda who might have eaten the Chametz, and we should say that that Safik should be Motzi Midei Vadai. Or shall we say that the fact that a Chaver would always be Mesakin his Peros, and therefore we assume he was Mafrish, that's not a Safik, but rather a Vadai. And yesterday we suggested that maybe Rashi says Al Kola Chaverim. You remember that Rashi?
Right.
We'll read it again, Bolinet, tomorrow. But that means that there's a certain emunus that a chaver would not allow anyone to have access to his produce unless he was mafresh trumas and maisus. That itself is a testimony. He's really testifying to everyone or anyone who might have access to his produce that he was mafresh maser, and that makes it into a vada. Okay then? So yeah. We'll pick this up in Mr. Shem tomorrow. What'd you find over here?
Minat tefillin kama pamim b'yom tzarek l'berech alem v'kol pam. It says the Mishbura filu im kishasalkin hayadaitu l'chazirim teke filu im lo shiru mikomo klav in tayin.
So he's passing like Rebbe.
Passes like Rebbe. Now the Ramah says at the end, the Ramah is holak on this, and at the end the Mishbura says that if you had in your daita when you were making the original lahaniach to take it off immediately and put it on immediately, then you could not.
That's the Ramah. The Ramah is allowing you with one bracha, but only if you had das, says the Mishnah Brura.
When you made
see,
the
if I
bracha,
didn't see the Mishnah Brura,
I would have said the lamed itself is your das that you can take it off and put it back.
Oh, okay, that's very long. But I wanted to say the following, that maybe the Ramah is passing like Chachamim against Rebbe. And as long as there's no hefsek,
then
he hasn't yet fulfilled his obligation. And therefore the bracha is on the whole mitzvah.
The problem is that the Ramah himself, Meforish by Talis, says that if you take off your Talis, Afilu Haya Daita Laksu Vlitip Vomiyad Tzarek Levara. And the Ramah says, only if you're still wearing a teleskat, but hakin no hagin.
So in other words, the Mishnah Brura is making that equation that when the Ramah says in tefillin one bracha suffice, that's because he had das.
Right.
And then,
but the Ramah goes further by talis. You need taliskatan on to keep it alive.
Yeah. So I don't know what that means.
He's the teif itself doesn't keep it alive.
Wait, one second. Forget about the taliskatan. I don't have a taliskatan. I only have a taliskatan. So why wouldn't the Ramah advocate that I make a new bracha?
I don't understand.
Do you hear my question?
Yeah, because I think the etz and the Ramah's paskin,
you know what it might be? Yeah. That what the Ramah's bothered about is that he doesn't have to wear the beged. In other words, in the case of tefillin,
you have an unconditional.
But in the case of tefillin, so what obligates me to put back on the beged? I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, you're really, this could be a major PhD thesis. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
It's, so, but what suggests the patient goes to make a bracha on the tal katan?
Ah, why is the nusach al?
Yes.
Let's think about that. First of all, you know what? Even before I think about your question, I'm reminded of this Rabbeinu Tam, that they didn't want to establish the same nusach on the same mitzvah, so therefore they had to change the nusach. But again, then Rabbeinu Tam wants to know, okay, so why does the Tefillin Shel Rosh get the Al and the Tefillin Shel Yom? Well, let's just think. How is maybe the mitzvah of Talis Katan? Why would the mitzvah of Talis Katan?
I don't know.
It's a brilliant question. I don't know the answer to this question.
It's a simple question.
I don't know.
But it doesn't fit into.
I don't know the answer. I had thoughts that crossed my mind that maybe, since he intends to put on a Talis Gadol, in an old case, again, you know, they always were sacking the bracha to reflect the classic situation. So, in the classic scenario, he's going to put on a tzitzis, he's going to put on a talus, in addition to its talz katan. So therefore, the bracha was established with an al. What does that mean? Let's just think. If we hold,
but so you know, some don't depend on talz katan for marriage.
Maybe since there's going to be another part of it, but that doesn't make sense because we're going to make a separate bracha on Lis'atif. So again, what I would say is I don't know how to develop this, but just a germ of an idea that in the case of talis, which covers your whole body, so there's a kiyum gavra hama'utar b'tzitzis. But that kiyum doesn't apply in the case of talis katan, because you're not mu'utar. It only covers part of your body. You know, maybe it's 24 inches of your body, whatever it is. So therefore, the bracha is established on the maisa levisha, which is a mitzvah nasis miyad. In the case of tzitzis, which covers your whole body, it's not just a maisa of his atfus, but it's gavra hama'utar b'tzitzis. And therefore, we cannot make a bracha on the gemar mitzvah because it's a continuous chiyuv. So the bracha has to shift to a lamed, like the case of tefillin. But in the case of talis katan, where there's no kiyum of gavra liyos ma'utar b'tzitzis, because your body is not covered, then it's just one action, and immediately fulfill that action.
I guess it's a riot, maybe to, you know, take it off when you're playing sports and so forth. You know, it's not
a... Yeah, but theoretically, as soon as you finish the game, you should put it back on again, right? So that's a cash on my thesis, because just like in talis, you know, you take off the talis, you put it back on, so too... But maybe it has to do with the fact that tzitzis is a kiyum mitzvah without a chiyuv. You remember, the Rambam has a distinction between a mitzvah shel reshus and a mitzvah shel chova. I don't have to wear this beged.
And like tefillin, although I like it.
Mish, did you want to say something? I'm sorry, Reuven. We'll talk. We have a lot of talk time together. But
there was also, I think, the way I learned was that if you intended to put your talis back on, you would make a bracha. But if it fell and you had no intention,
right,
then at that point you'd have to make a bracha.
Right, right. That's the Rambam, I think.
So it's an intention that's involved in
the right. So we have to figure out how that intention extends your bracha to the second mice.
So just going back to I'm wondering, we make a brachin kavod afterwards. So in some respect, that can be applied. That maybe there's a suffix there, and the bracha is not really bracha.
Right, because the other poskim say
we don't do it. He does.
Right, the other poskim say you don't make a bracha. So it's good to say bracha kavod.
Yeah, so
just in case it's a
nullifies the bracha.
But Rabbi Natan understood that you have to make a bracha.
This is total